I want to welcome everyone to Family Times Magazine podcast. This is another exciting episode. I did put a little teaser out on Facebook. I was letting everybody know that I was going to have someone here who was going to help us with some real estate information, talk about the real estate market, help us with some tips and tricks on buying and selling a home. And so this morning I have Erica Jacobs with me, and she is from the Jacobs Group, RE/MAX Premier Realty. Welcome, Erica. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So your relationship with Family Times Magazine started just simply by being an advertiser. With COVID and some free time, we got our podcast up and going. So I immediately thought of you because I can't name any person who has not either bought a home, sold a home, or been involved in one of the two transactions on some level. You just think, man, how much fun could that be, right? A realtor just gets to give people tours of homes and talk about all the wonderful benefits of a home. But obviously, like anything else, there's a lot more that goes into that. So first I want to talk to you about your background. What brought you to real estate?
I worked in the village's local government for 10 years and I liked working in government, and I got my master's in public administration, but I really liked working with the community and helping. I interacted with many people all around our country coming in and new residents, and it was an exciting time for them, and I just wanted to be a part of that more. I was presented by somebody a couple times by RE/MAX trying to get me to be a real estate agent. And finally, I, you know, took the switch, and it's worked out very well, and I'm happy that I did. So since 2016, I've been in the market.
Oh, I didn't know that about you. So that's something we have in common, because I also have a background in working for local government, and I think that can really help. Regardless of what industry you get into after that, I think that helps because you really get to see the goings-ons and all the parts and pieces that get your community moving and growing and thriving, and also a lot of the challenges that come with that. I think that's a really cool avenue that you took to get there because you truly know the inner workings of this community. So that's great.
I've been in Ocala since high school. I've lived in Ocala for so many years. Mm-hmm. So I knew Ocala, and I just know the villages so well. And like you said, just the local government background of it really helps when trying to sell homes.
So for someone like me who is from Ocala, and I remember taking 441 basically anywhere, right? Anywhere we went, that's the direction that we took. And so to go through that now, it's almost just like its own world.
It is. It's pretty impressive. We call it Disney World for adults.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Retirees.
And there are a lot of young people who will load up and go to the villages to spend a night out because it's very fun. I mean, you have a good time in the villages.
Yes.
It's just amazing how that little space of land that used to be just pastures and
watermelon fields,
as far as I could see. And now it's a booming and bustling environment. So that must be really exciting for someone who sells real estate.
It is, especially to see the families come and support with the charter school, and just the whole dynamic of it is just, it's great.
Obviously, we're still in the midst of a pandemic. Luckily, a lot of things have changed. Luckily, we're in Florida, where we can be open and still be doing business, and our kids can still be in school. But I would think that COVID did affect the real estate market. Tell us, if so, how was it affected by COVID?
I think what's really changed during the COVID times, even when COVID first hit, I wouldn't really say the market slowed down too much. I just feel like we did a lot of virtual tours, and virtual showings became a real hit. Hmm. And even still to this day, there's been a lot of trust in people around our country to trust us agents here locally to do a good virtual tour for a home that they're going to buy sight unseen.
Right.
But I think just the different states and their governments and what they have going on there have really brought many residents to the Ocala and Villages area because they don't want to be in their state anymore.
Right.
So it's been great. I think Ocala has over 140 new residents each day.
I have understood that we have people moving in by the droves.
Yeah.
Right. And because we're open and because we have so many outdoor activities, and we are definitely a wonderful place to live, even prior to COVID.
Yes.
You know, I'm sorry that it took a global pandemic for people to realize what an amazing community we live in. But now they realize it. And of course, we welcome them here.
And they all want to be here.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. So tell me if this is true, because I did hear this on the news. And, you know, you can't always believe what you hear on the news these days. But this sounded pretty accurate. They were talking about the real estate market. They were talking specifically about Central Florida, and that people are getting over their asking price in some cases. And that, like you said, people from other states are buying property and buying homes sight unseen.
Yes, that is correct.
That's crazy. I mean, yes. Is that the norm? Do people typically do that?
We've always gone above asking price. We do have multiple offers on some good homes, and there has been above asking price before. Any listing that I've had this past month is sold within 30 minutes. They walk in and I have an offer. So it's been kind of crazy out there. However, the market has increased a little bit. We have to be careful with going over asking price with certain types of loans because it does have to appraise still. As agents and sellers want to increase their price of their home, but you have to be careful while doing that. Because it still has to appraise. Yeah, I
hadn't thought about that. So when someone is selling a home, which I've done both, I've sold a home, I've purchased a home, and being on both sides is really, really different. And so give us some tips on if you're going to list your home, what are some things that you can do to help make your home more likely to stand out against, especially now, right, when there's so many homes listed, what can people do to help their home stand out?
My advice that I give to any of my sellers, which is kind of hard. I mean, I'm a family of five, so I understand, you know, clutter in house and just like toys hanging around and all that stuff. But really decluttering and making the house almost look as empty as possible with just having some pictures on the walls and, you know, a few decorations around the house really makes a big difference. We don't take pictures of the garage. Most agents do not. So I tell everybody just put everything in the garage. And my sellers have done very well with that because when these buyers walk in, they want to visualize themselves living in this home.
Right.
And they have a hard time doing that if there's a lot of personal stuff in the home. I don't even know if decluttering is the right word, but just getting rid of all of that, making the house look as basically as empty as possible with some furniture and decorations,
right,
I think is a huge help.
So would you say that a staged home is more attractive to a buyer than a completely empty home?
Yes, because everybody that walks in a model home, they're like, I want this house.
Right.
That's what they say. It's beautifully decorated. And I mean, the empty homes do sell. Mm-hmm. But there are people out there, and I'm one of them, that has a hard time visualizing, like, what am I going to do with this space? Mm-hmm. Especially the open floor plans. Where should I put the couch? You know? And so when you have that in there, they can say, okay, this person has the couch there, but maybe I'll like it better there. It gives them that visual.
Yeah. So. Not everybody has the design eye.
Yes.
And sometimes an empty space can be very overwhelming. Yes. It's like, you know, like a blank canvas.
Yes.
If you're truly not an artist by nature, you just get a little overwhelmed. So
yes.
If somebody has a home and let's say their walls are painted, you know, whatever their color of choice was, is it a good idea to go ahead and just paint out all the walls white? Because I've heard that and I'm like, is this really true? Would having all white walls really make the difference?
Neutral colors.
Okay.
Any neutral colors. Sellers that can afford it, if you have the walls, you know, some have some colorful homes, if you can paint it a neutral color, definitely helps. Because sometimes if you have the darker colors, it makes the room appear smaller. So brightening it up and putting some neutral colors in there is just a real eye opener for buyers.
So I have a friend right now who is getting ready to move to Orlando. Crazy. I don't know what he's thinking, but you know, that's his vibe. So, okay, great. He purchased a home not too long ago and they've done some upgrades, but the kitchen and the bathrooms are still very outdated. What would be your advice to someone who has a very outdated kitchen and very outdated bathrooms?
You leave it as is.
Okay.
Say you go in and you update this kitchen, you put granite in, or not even paint it, but if you just do a whole update, even with bathrooms, you may update the home into the next buyer. They don't want white cabinets. You know, they don't want white granite or the stone color that you chose in the house. So I would say leave it as is. Just list the house at a reasonable price. If you get enough feedback, you can always offer a credit, but you don't want to update a home to your liking for the buyer. So even flooring, I mean, if the home needs new carpet, offer a carpet credit, you know, or put some neutral carpet in there. But you don't want to put down flooring because the next buyer may not want tile or laminate or porcelain tile. They may not want that.
That's so true.
Yeah, you're better off offering a credit or just listing it for a very reasonable price.
He's going to be very happy to hear that, Erica, because I've honestly been trying to talk him in. I'm like, your kitchen, I really think a buyer is going to walk in and just be overwhelmed and be like, oh, I don't want to go through the process of redoing the kitchen. Yeah. So I've been giving him very bad advice because I'm not a real estate professional. So I'm going to make sure to follow up with him and say, don't listen to anything I say. Leave it as is.
And in this market, you don't even have to worry about that.
How long do you think this big boom is going to last?
Hard to say, but you know, some experts do say about a year. I think once it equals itself out, until these other states start opening up. I mean, the whole country's a little crazy. I mean, we're not at the point yet where we're waiving all these finance contingencies, $70,000 above asking price like other states are, and waiving inspection contingencies. You do have it on some homes, but it's not as popular as in other states. But as soon as these other states open up and people have some more freedom, I think that it will slow down a little bit.
And so if somebody is looking to buy a home, which a lot of people are right now, what is some advice you can give people of things that they can do before they even start looking, because I know that a lot of people make the mistake. They want to buy a home, right? This very exciting time in their life. It's a huge milestone, but there's a lot of things that are involved, especially if you're not just a cash buyer. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to someone who knows they're looking to buy a home in the next year or so? What are some things they can start doing now?
If you're looking to buy a home in a year, start saving a little bit of money so you have enough to cover appraisal, inspection, your escrow deposit. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is when you're ready to buy, you need to get pre-approved. That's the number one step. Mm-hmm. Because in this market, if a home comes on the market you like, we need to be ready to go and you need to have that pre-approval. Because nobody is going to take an offer without, you know, proof of funds or pre-approval. So that's the first step. And if you need to sell your house before you can buy, that needs to be pending. Mm-hmm. So you need to get that listed. It needs to be pending. And then we can jump on, start looking. I know it's a scary thought for some people to list their home and wait for it to pending to start looking, because they're like, my house is pending and now right. I have to try to find a house. You're scrambling.
Yeah.
Most of the time the pieces fall together. So, and as agents, if you have a really good agent, know the market, they'll work their
sure.
butt off essentially right. to get this done for you. But the biggest step is to get pre-approved and to get the home pending. Mm-hmm.
And how much roughly should people expect to have to put down?
For escrow, it depends on the type of loan. So VA, most people usually put about $1,000, but typical escrow is about $2,000 to $5,000, depending on the price of the home. Mm-hmm. That's due within 3 days of a contract, and that goes directly to title. It's good faith money for the seller.
If you're the real estate agent and you are representing the seller, but then you also find the buyer, which in a perfect world, is that what realtors prefer, is to kind of represent both parties?
A couple years ago, I'd say yes.
Okay.
I want to be a hogger is what we call it as agents. So you okay. just represent both sides, but it gets tricky. So the best part about having a team now is that my husband will represent the other side.
Nice.
And I do not give him any information. He does not like that.
Ooh.
But no, we, you know, that's the nice thing is that he can just represent the other side. But yes, we do represent both sides.
Okay.
Even if you're a single agent. Yes. I always tell my sellers, I don't want to know your bottom number. Mm-hmm. Because if I bring the buyer, I don't want you to think that I conveyed that to them.
Right.
So I don't want to know the bottom number.
Good idea.
So, yeah. So if I bring the buyer mm-hmm. and we put in an offer, this is what the buyer is offering.
Sure.
And I treat the buyer and my seller the same I would do if I wasn't double ending it. Mm-hmm. I would give my buyer the same advice for this market as well as my seller when countering or accepting mm-hmm. the offer.
So. What do you do if you have a seller and they say, okay, I want to sell my home and this is what I want to get for it. And you look at the home and you look at the price and you're just like, it's just never going to work out.
So if you have that seller that really wants to overprice the home, there's two factors I tell them. It has to appraise. Mm-hmm. I'm not an appraiser, but I pulled all my comps and this is the same comps that the appraiser is going to pull. Mm-hmm. So this is reality here. You know, this is a number that I do not guess. I thoroughly make them understand that the home does have to appraise. Most importantly, if you overprice a home, it will sit. This market may be a little bit different, but if you overprice a home, say 10, 15, even 20,000 or anything above that, you have potential of it sitting. Buyers know the market mm-hmm. sometimes more than agents. Like they aggressively look on realtor.com and Zillow and all of these sites minute by minute through the day.
Sure.
And when you overprice a home and they've been watching all of these homes, they don't even want to go look at it. So I normally tell my sellers, imagine you're going to buy a car and there's the same exact car at two different dealerships. One's listed for $10,000, one's listed for $12,000. What dealership are you going to go to first? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing as buying a house.
Right.
You know, when you're comparing the market and this home is overpriced, you're just not going to get the showings.
Right.
So I usually tell my sellers, like, listen, and I've had sellers overprice, and it when you do a price drop, it makes you look very vulnerable. So I usually tell my sellers the traffic we get in the home when we list the house is really going to tell us if we're overpriced.
Right.
So if we only have one or two showings, especially in this market, and it's been a week, it definitely need a price drop. It's tricky. Mm-hmm. And I really do try my best.
That's great advice. And you mentioned Zillow. So can we talk about Zillow for a second? Because I've gone on Zillow mainly to be nosy. If I see a house, like a really cute house that I know is listed, I'll just go to Zillow because I want to look at the photos and see how cute it is on the inside. Even if there's literally zero chance I'm even looking to buy a home. But for those that are, is Zillow really the best place to go to find the value of a home?
No.
Okay.
The thing is, when I have a customer call me and say, I want to list my house, I go preview the home and then I leave bulk comps and then I go back. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I can pull comps because you're going to tell me over the phone, this is the flooring, this square footage, this is how many bedrooms, this is the age of the roof AC and all this good stuff. There are times that I've walked in homes before doing that and I'm like, what I have comped is not accurate because either they've done tons of upgrades or they don't have the upgrades that these other comps have had. So I always preview the home. Zillow doesn't, they compare to other homes based off of their square footage, bedrooms, you know, they don't go in your home to see the upgrades that you may have.
Right.
When they put on these estimates, it's based off of what's around you. It's not based off of your individual home. So that gets challenging, especially buyers. And they're like, oh, this estimate says.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes, but look at this home. I pull comps for buyers. I'm like, look at what this home has to offer versus all of these homes. And Zillow just doesn't do that.
I ran into that myself when I was selling a townhome that I did a lot of updating.
Yes.
And of course, Zillow, like you say, doesn't know all of that. But I had buyers say, well, Zillow says it's worth this. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what? You know, what is up with Zillow? Like, they're killing us right now.
Yeah.
So I had to ask because I think there's a lot of people that really rely on Zillow and treat it like gospel. And so it's good to hear you say that's not the case. Just trust your real estate agent. Let them go to work for you because they know way more than Zillow would.
I would say find an agent that you see that is top producing or that you're recommended to. Trust the agent in what they have to offer. There's plenty of us out there that can give you that advice. And I think that's pretty big. And people don't utilize agents as much as you can. And you can interview a few agents, you know, to find the right one to fit for you.
Are there any real estate professionals that motivate you or inspire you? Maybe someone that you study and watch because you really love their career path and you want that to kind of be a reflection of your own work ethic?
One person that motivates me every day is Tom Ferry. He's a national real estate coach and he's absolutely phenomenal. He motivates me every day. But I'm also part of a mastermind group in Ocala and it is basically a group of three teams, two individual agents within RE/MAX. They're all top producing agents. We meet every other week and that group alone, like we motivate each other so much.
Mm-hmm.
We all bring good advice and we don't really compete with each other, but we all look up to each other. It's like our tribe.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
We kind of stick together. Yeah. That is real motivator too, because we just bring each other up every meeting and we have expectations of each other.
It's good to have other experts in the field to lean on because you can do something for years and years and years and you're going to come across a challenge that's just going to really stump you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to know you guys have other people that you're working collectively so that you can call on one another in times like that. I'm just a believer in that, right? I'm a believer in kind of working together for the benefit of everybody. And so it's good to hear that realtors do that because often you think they're very competitive, you know, that you go into a place and I've done this myself where I've gone in to look at a house. I've been with the realtor who's representing that seller and you see all these business cards on the table and they'll like kind of take them and just like
push them off.
And I'm like, are you supposed to do that? You know, I don't know. I don't know what the game is, but you just kind of think it's so cutthroat. So it's nice to hear that you guys work collectively that way.
There's enough to go around for all of us.
Yeah. Seriously, it sounds like it.
I mean, between Ocala and the villages, there's enough.
Right.
So let's just work together, like you said. So that's what we do with the mastermind. I mean, there are competitive agents out there, which there should be, but it's kind of nice.
If someone were looking to get into this profession, what really goes on other than just the showings, which I think everyone's familiar with, but what other things do realtors do that probably the general public would not know that you guys have to do throughout the process?
The showings is sometimes the fun part, okay? And then we write the contract. That's when the fun begins. That whole 30, 45 days, that is when a realtor really gets to work. We have to work with title companies, with lenders, the other agents. If they're selling their home, other agents from, you know, a different state, inspectors and appraisers. We're really working with all in the back end. Like with my buyers and sellers, I update them every single Monday. But in between that time, we're really working with all of these people to try to get this deal closed. I have an assistant that helps me stay on top of the lender to make sure that the lender's, you know, getting the appraisal done and the title company's ordering the survey and just all of that backhand work is really when our work comes into play.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. It's definitely fun. It's challenging. I mean, anybody new coming in the business, it's hard work. Everybody thinks a real estate agent, you know, just has, you know, shows a house and makes less money, but it's not. It's really, really hard work. We do have flexible schedule, but it takes a lot of time away from our family too. So anybody coming into the business, I would say you definitely need a mentor. I was mentored and I think that's what's going to make you successful is just taking one of those agents in your company and really having that mentor to help you and guide you for the first 90 days.
That's sound advice, because I can tell you, if you watch reality TV, it sure looks glamorous. Do you watch those shows and just laugh?
Yeah,
like
you, yeah, yes, because it's just, oh, we show this house, and then they're walking in on closing day, and it's just, there's a lot that goes in between there. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we put out a lot of fires that buyers and sellers don't even know. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's that 30 to 45 day period, and even buyers leading up to buying a house. I mean, when they're looking for houses 3-4 months, think about all those houses we show them.
I mean, all of it is productive time. It's not that any of it is necessarily wasted time.
No, never.
Because even if you show 10 houses to a couple that ends up never buying from you, I mean, obviously that's just more practice and experience in showing houses and knowing neighborhoods and better learning your community. So I guess there's no such thing as a wasted experience. But what's funny is I watch on HGTV, I've seen memes on this. I know you've seen this on Facebook with the couple. One of them babysits birds and the other one is a kite flyer and their budget is, you know, $4 million on these big homes. And you see this all the time. I'm just like, how are they affording these houses on what they do? So don't believe TV, right?
It's just like watching a fairy tale movie.
Sure.
It is fun. I enjoy it. And I always tell my customers, because I show plenty of houses, especially working with retirees, you show plenty of houses, they're coming down to tour this area, and they may end up buying in Naples and Sarasota. But I always tell my customers from the beginning, like, it's okay that you buy somewhere else, or like the Villages has their own sales office, they may buy through them. As long as they're happy and they find the place that they want, that's what means the most to me.
That's good. Yeah. That says a lot about you as a professional. Because at the end of the day, you want the person to be happy.
Right. I always put myself in the buyer or seller's shoes. Like, this is how I would want to be treated. Yes. I don't want to feel pressured because this agent has showed me around that I have to buy in this area that may not work out.
Right.
The demographics may not work out. What the community may have to offer may not work out. Like, or the city may not. I think it's important to just really focus on what your customer needs.
Why do you think people love living and working and especially now moving to Marion County?
Why not? It's a beautiful city. The downtown square, how much it's built up, is insane. It has attracted many, many around the country. Like, number one, let's talk about retirees. We have 17 retirement communities in Ocala. Wow. And on top of the world being one of the largest, everybody comes and it's just like highlighted. And these retirement communities, these are active retirement communities. They're actively involved in sports, swimming, crafts. And they're driving around golf carts. They're living their best life. It doesn't matter what community you live in. So that attracts them to the Ocala area. As far as families, I mean, we're affordable. And how much our city is built up, I mean, down 200, down our downtown square, and what we have to offer. You know, we do have some schools, good school systems here in Ocala. Mm-hmm. So I think that attracts.
I guess for us, you know, being here so long or even being from here, I know personally I've taken advantage of the springs that we have and that's the equine too. Industry. Yes. It's just like anything else, right? Yes. When you're born into something, you don't know any different.
Yep.
But I can tell you, as much as I've traveled and gone to other places and I do a lot of comparing, and it's always nice to go and visit and see other things, but we are just full of treasures. And I think people are really starting to realize that. And I think as I get older, I'm more appreciative. You know, out of high school, a lot of us were just like, let's get out of, you know, slow Cala. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was very slow. And for a young person at that time, it felt very slow. But now I'm looking at young people who are choosing to move here because we are more diverse now than we've ever been. We have way more entertainment and things to do and the arts. Oh my gosh, it has really changed so, so much.
The World Equestrian Center.
That's huge.
Let's talk about that.
Right?
It's pretty amazing everything that's came to, you know, our beautiful city. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if people are thinking about moving to Marion County, I mean, other than contacting you, of course, are there places that they can go to get information on the demographics of, you know, what neighborhood should I move into? What has the best schools? Where are the most parks and things like that? What would you recommend to a person who's doing some research?
So any of the Marion County websites, you have City of Ocala, the Marion County School website is phenomenal. And they talk about all the different schools. I would definitely recommend calling the different schools. They have virtual tours. You can go in and do personal tours. Have you heard of MTI? This is a great trade school that Ocala has now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's built up in the past couple of years, but I mean, my 15-year-old is going to be going into automotive and he'll graduate with a certificate. And then they have construction, welding, firefighter, paramedics, like all of these programs. I definitely recommend researching all of this, talk to somebody in the profession and figure out what best fits your child.
So how can people get in touch with you? Because we want anyone listening to call you if they're going to be selling. We want them to call you if they're going to be buying, if they know anybody. who's looking to buy or sell?
So I am on Instagram and Facebook. You can look at us on Google, the Jacobs Group, and we can find us in RE/MAX, or you can call us. My cell phone number is 352-572-2556. We're pretty much everywhere, the Jacobs Group, Florida.
That's great. And yes. So what's it like working with your husband?
It's great. So my husband's actually really outgoing, and he is a people person, 100%. So everybody loves him. I have more of just like a dominance personality. So I do a lot of the negotiating, but we really complement each other just because of that. Mm-hmm. Like he's really like a social one. I am social, but not as much as he is. Right. Like he'll walk out with 10 best friends, and that works for us. And it has for in many aspects of our marriage, but working with him is great. We partner in different ways. If I'm busy, he can do the backhand work, or if he's busy and needs an offer written, I can get to the office. So just having a team in general is just, and then it being your husband is even better. So.
I think that's great. Well, I want to thank you for being here with me today and for everybody listening. Sometimes it's really difficult to change. And so if you're looking to sell your home, it can be exciting, but it can also be really emotional, especially if it's your family home.
Emotionally,
yeah.
Nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
You have people that maybe have never sold a house or never bought a house, and they're nervous of what the next steps are. So you need someone that just has the communication factor and is really going to be patient. I think that's really the key. But if I can just say and highlight one more thing, I think the most important thing for buyers is just to get pre-approved. When you get a local lender, you just have these lenders that are familiar with our communities and our demographics and the whole Ocala area. They're used to all of the fees if you're living in a neighborhood. So it just makes the deal go a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great advice. And I want to thank you for being here with us today. You've given us so much good advice. And at some point in everybody's life, you're going to be buying a home.
Yes.
Or selling a home, or, yes. You know, helping someone that you love buy or sell a home. And so I think this advice you've given us today is wonderful and helpful. And I recommend anybody who needs anything in the world of real estate to please contact Erica Jacobs at the Jacobs Group. And she's happy to help. And I thank you for being here today and hope you have a wonderful day.